Right, Jarvo, has any Premier League player ever been bought and sold in the same transfer window?
I haven't even fucking pressed record on Zoom yet.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't do an intro.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. It's your Q&A time. And I just forgot to do an intro. The reason I forgot to do an intro is because I read the second question whilst thinking about the first question. But it is Q&A, James. It is Bank Holiday Monday, so we'll try and have a little bit of fun.
Jarvo
kicks off the Q&A. Has any Premier League player ever been bought and sold in the same transfer window, not loaned? People have jumped in with a few here, James. Benikofobi. Robert Yarny to Coventry and then to Real Madrid. David Unsworth, Didi Haman, and John Obi Mikel have all been mentioned as bought and sold in the same transfer window.
It certainly happened. The laws are that it can't happen now, essentially. And to the extent that, say, Jed Spence would be a good example of this. Tottenham bought Jed Spence from Nottingham Forest. They cannot loan him in the same window to another English club. They could loan him overseas. Could not loan him to another English club, is my understanding. I mean, I think they probably could loan him to a championship, but I don't think he has any intention of playing at that level again in the near future. So I don't know if that's the reason why the question's come up, but yes, it has certainly happened before. David Unsworth, was that mentioned?
Mentioned. Didi Haman.
David Unsworth's the absolute best one. When he joined Villa, and he thought it was near Merseyside. Okay.
Nutter. FPLOL. Does such need reminding that when paying patrons ask boring questions about FPL, boring in inverted commas, he's running a podcast where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. Maybe West Ham star is affecting morale.
That's a good question.
Think that... it's not the questions about FPL, it's the boring questions about FPL. Like, James, for example, does Perisic start on Wednesday?
Probably.
You know, it's the ones that are difficult to answer with an opinion that has any value. But I get it, the FPL questions. To be honest, West Ham's start didn't affect my morale at all because... I was just never down. Like, it was not a good start, but I just didn't see like the Moyes needs sorting out and we need to buy loads of players and this, that, and the other. We've strengthened the squad massively. Like, the 8-9 signings that are going to come in are all decent signings and better than what we had before. And yeah, we just need to kick into gear. 6-1 in the Conference League, you'd expect no less, but we did the job 6-1. So... you know, it hasn't affected my morale at all. I think what's affecting my FPL morale is the repetitive nature of questions that you can't help with. There's some questions I feel like we can offer a more valued opinion on than others. And who picks, who's going to start and who's not going to start, I think is on there as a list of the most unhelpful things that we can try and do for
people. I don't pick the team. That's what I say. I have to say it to people on the deadline stream particularly, to be blunt, I don't pick the team, mate.
Football Adam, would you prefer your team to win every derby but finish seventh or lose every derby and finish top four? I'd say top four.
Yeah, I feel like I'd want something season, a bit better I'd than say fourth. Top four. But
the thing is, we're both London clubs, so we have a lot of derbies, which means it would be impossible to lose every derby and finish top four.
I mean, just thinking about that logically, would I rather beat Arsenal twice and finish seventh this season, or would I rather lose to them twice and finish fourth? I'd rather finish fourth, wouldn't I?
Yeah, definitely. John Jakobsen, and that's if you just include one derby, but if you include every other fixture against London clubs, I mean, there's too many, mate. There's no way you could lose every other London club all the games.
There's only one derby for us, mate.
No, but it depends what he's counting in the question, Adam.
Oh, I took the question as just Arsenal. I didn't take it as anything else.
It's just every derby. There's only two. Anyway, John Jakobsen would like to inform us, James, that Lovelace is another word for a willy. Willy Bolly.
Is it?
Willy.
Harry said Willy the other day for the first time.
Nice.
I was so, so happy. What's this? And he holds the thing. Willy! These things make parents so happy.
Have you ever called yours a Lovelace in the bedroom before? Well,
no.
Considering prior to this, we had not heard of this phrase.
My babes want a little bit of the old Lovelace.
Harm Boy has jumped in and said, also the name of the first ever famous porn star, so someone told me, ... Okay, maybe that's where it came from. We are claiming no knowledge here. Last Wednesday, Billy Hathaway. Did we miss Suds referring to West Ham and Antonio in particular as lethargic on Monday's main pod? I guess by the time this comes up, we'll know if he scored another four against Villa. Well, he didn't score four against Villa, and he only came on for the last 20, 30 minutes.
There you go. So we won't mention that one again. We'll just keep referring back to the Norwich game.
Norwich, exactly. Tim C, if they decided to resurrect the Super League, do you think Newcastle have a chance of being involved?
Yes. But the other English clubs would hate it, frankly. I think you could make a case for others as well. West Ham, a couple of others. Why not?
Yeah. No, why is the question, James. Not why not. Why?
Anyway,
we don't want it. Don't want it.
Anyway, we already play in the fucking Super League.
Mate, all I could think throughout the entire second half of Aston Villa West Ham was, and we call this the best league in the world, this is dog shite. But you know what? You get bad games sometimes. Shifo asked this question on Thursday. What move is best for West Ham moving forward? Replace Antonio with Scamacca, play three at the back, or Moyes to get COVID? Well, we did two of the three and it didn't particularly help, but I think replacing Antonio with Scamacca is the first step forward.
Think Scamacca starts again Wednesday?
I'd like to think so. He didn't do anything to harm his case. He just didn't get much service, to be honest with you. And you could tell he was saying to them, like, play it into my feet when he's got defenders, when he's backing into defenders. He doesn't want the ball coming in high aerially. He wants it played to feet. He's not bad.
It's interesting, though, because he's a giant, isn't he?
Yeah, he's huge. But he's good on the ground, mate.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
He was saying to Tufel at one point, like, trust me, play it into my feet. So we'll see. Harbour Boy, I know it's only early days, but with so many lower table teams picking up points in the first few weeks, could we be looking at a really competitive relegation battle this season? Potentially even more interesting than the title race.
Definitely. And literally,
it's going to be good this year.
The first conversation literally we got into with Mark at King's Cross yesterday was literally that. Like, you look at Forest, I look at them, and to be honest, what I saw yesterday, I think they stay up. By the way, I should have said this on the main pod, and I want to say it now because you're not on Tottenham this week. That's the best atmosphere I've been to in ages.
At City Ground.
Yeah, really good. Nice. Really, really, really good atmosphere there yesterday.
Helped by the team, you'd say, like, because they were going for it.
You could say that,
weren't they?
But we went 1-0 up after 5 minutes, right? So that
But they were still, even after you went 1-0 up, they were still trying to throw punches.
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't have described it as intimidating in any way, but the atmosphere in the ground was really good. Fair credit to them. And I've been slagging off everywhere recently, so that was pleasing, actually.
It's going to be good this year.
Saying about Forest, like, looking at them and what I've seen so far, going, you've got enough to stay up. But I don't know if they've got enough to stay up when I actually compare them to the other 19 teams in the league, because I don't know if there's three worse than them.
I think one or two could get cut away.
You just come full circle. Every time you have this conversation, you come around full circle and go back to Everton. Mm. And it's unavoidable. And even then, if you went, okay, Bournemouth, Everton, you start struggling. Fulham look all right, mate.
Shifa wants to know, would you consider a three-pointer as a return? No.
I'd say yes. It's not a blank. There is something there. There is a clean sheet point there. How would you treat it if a player got an assist and got booked?
Four-pointer. I'd consider that a return.
All right. What if they did it as a substitute? What if you had a player who got an assist. Perisic. What if they started?
In game week two or whatever.
What if they started, got an assist, got booked, got subbed at half time? That's 3 points. Do you count that as a return?
I count goal, assist, clean sheet as a return.
3 points technically is a return. Shit. Similar conversation I had about Jesus last week with 4 points. Technically, it's a return.
Yeah.
Blank.
That's an assist.
Two pointer is a blank. 1 pointer is a failure. Zero is fucked. Less is you play at the back for Bournemouth.
Mac Beach FPL. Has James ever been an announcer for a live football match such as TV or radio? And if not, would you want to be? I'm not sure if he means commentator, whether it's a language question here. I'm not sure where Mac's from and whether or not he means commentator as announcer, because you're not going to want to be the one that reads out the team sheet, are you?
If I had, do you think I'd be sitting here? I'd probably still be doing it, wouldn't I? To be totally honest. So no, the answer's no.
Scott Schrager, I'm trying to make up the 0.1 loss on Sun to get to Salah. It's either Ramsdale to a 4.5, Sanchez or Rea. Well, Sanchez is 4.6 now. Or sell Ward for Iverson to gain the 0.1 I need. Ward seems to be the favoured, right? So if Ward's your reserve goalkeeper, I'd keep him as your reserve goalkeeper. And I think Ramsdale to Sanchez, they'll be there or thereabouts between the two of them over the next 5 or 6.
Yeah,
I'd keep Ward as the reserve and go Ramsdale to Sanchez in my opinion.
I think that's probably going to be the move for me as well. Those moves also, because I need 0.4 to go Sonny to KDB, should be, none of those players should move in price tonight as it stands, which means I've got the blessing of not feeling forced into anything. Just take all the team news tomorrow, make the transfers, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, crack on. Are you flying tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah, 1 o'clock, 1:30, something like that.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
I've seen this story before.
Sitting in the airport, Gatwick, I'll be making my transfers.
No, I can see it now. This is the problem, right?
But Gatwick, I'm set bust, right? My worst case scenario is I make no transfer. My transfer is Salah to KDB and armband on Haaland. I'll leave the armband on Haaland. And if I just play Salah instead of KDB, what's the big deal? It's not a situation where I need to make the move. So, and I might make the decision to just ride it out, because what it means is on the weekend, I've got 2 free transfers. Depending on who plays midweek, we might have some indication on rotation at the weekend. And I might prefer to just have 2 frees for the weekend. So
interesting, though, because when you get on that flight, you ain't going to have all the team news.
No, it's fine. I'm chilling.
Oh, but I mean, if there's something like Guardiola says tomorrow, yeah, nah, bollocks, I'm going to play Alvarez or something.
Yeah, it's unlikely. The Haaland will come on for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And
probably still
destroy.
Going mental, yeah. But in that situation, we've spoken a lot this year about, say, Perisic. Like, he'll always get on anyway. It's always going to be a 1-pointer if he doesn't start. If City are beating Forest 3-4-0 and he hasn't started Haaland, I don't think he brings him on. I think he just leaves it.
Yep. Shifo, why do content creators care so much about their wanks? I mean, I don't search them to see who's the best ranked to subscribe. No, it's ranks. Shifo, you're a nice person who obviously takes us on our merit for whatever we bring to the table, whether it's comedy, whether it's football analysis, whether it is in fact FPL for some people, but not everybody is. And there's plenty that will be giving dogs abuse. Case in point being the weekend, right? Obviously, you were on the train with Mark, they did their match of the day challenge, and I wanted people. I know they are good enough to be able to handle the grief that comes along with doing the match of the day challenge and having a bad week. There's no denying, right? When you wildcard into Salah captain and some of and KDB over Haaland, it's not the outcome that they would have wanted. But they can handle it, which is cool. But there's plenty of people that were wankers on the comments and all the rest of it that are going to be like, you don't know what you're doing. It's brain dead. So I think it kind of cuts out that abuse. But I think most are thick-skinned enough to not care about rank.
No, but it goes both ways. So there'll be a lot of content creators, I think particularly in the YouTube environment, who, let's be honest, have grown their channels, and it's not to say they're not good, but a lot of them will have grown their channels based off their rank.
Yep.
That's honestly true. So if that's how the following has come, there is therefore then a pressure to maintain certain rank because that's how the following came in the first place, right?
It's true.
So I totally get why there's more pressure for some people than others. Yesterday, I don't think I spoke to Mark about FPL at all. Mark brought it up a few times. And I thought, why do you even want to go there today, mate? Let's just go to the football and enjoy ourselves, honestly.
Vincent, would any non-Big Six player have a shout to be in a current Premier League 11?
I mean, Declan Rice springs to mind as chance.
Current form?
No. I mean, in all honesty, no. He wouldn't get in.
Not on current form.
Not if you're picking the best team in the league, does Declan Rice go in? No, I think that's the one you would probably make a very, very good case for. Other than that, nope.
No. Sam O'Sullivan, why is Stoke such a bigger attraction for a manager than Sunderland? Surely the latter is a much bigger club. Is it Alec McLeish moved from one to the other?
Alex Neil. I've not had time to research this properly in terms of the reasoning why, so I probably can't really give a good answer. But on the face of it, yeah, moving from Sunderland to Stoke does seem... You think the idea that you've got Sunderland from League One to the Championship, so you've got grace. If you can get them back into the Prem as well, you're a proper hero, aren't you? And size of the ground and support, etc. It's not to say Stoke don't have good support. They do. But Sunderland, in terms of its potential, let's say, is far bigger. But we don't know. I said this on... I kind of got backed into a corner on one of the streams last week because I didn't know the answer. For all we know, he's got family there. And that's the biggest thing to him. Maybe it's money. Maybe you don't get on with the owners at Sunderland. Who knows? It could be a number of reasons. I've not had time to research it. I suspect, unfortunately, probably is money. But I feel a bit, having not done any research on it, it could be something like family. I don't know.
Let's move it on to Shifo. Best below 5 million goalkeeper until the World Cup. I'm leaning towards Raya. That was asked on Saturday at 9:30 in the morning. I'd go Sanchez.
As you will hear on Clash of the Correspondents tomorrow, the answer is Mark Travis.
You think so?
Why not?
Because got the best shitload of goals.
No,
I would go Sanchez. And if you wanted to go 4.5 on the nose and not pay that little extra, then I think Henderson is fair.
Until the World Cup, I arguably still think maybe Raya over Sanchez. I think that the killer for me on Raya versus Sanchez is the fact that this is probably the point where I'm going in and four of Brentford's next six is away from home and don't keep clean sheets away from home. And so that's a clincher for me, I think, to go Sanchez when Brighton's next four are good. I also don't need to think too long term as the wild card's still in the pocket and stuff, but I think, just that little bit. When one of Brentford's home games in that period is Arsenal as well. Yeah, I think Sanchez is probably the right choice. I don't see me going to... I've kept saying Dunk over Henry and stuff as well. And not wanting to be in that position where I ended up with Henry. I don't see myself being in that position where I want a Brentford or a Brighton defender per se.
John Jakobsen won £3.70 on the Euro Millions last night. What should he spend it on?
Half a pint at West Ham.
Chocolate. I'm just trying to think. £3.70 doesn't get you a happy extra value meal at McDonald's. £3.70.
Do you do half pints at football stadiums? I don't even know if they do.
Yeah,
must do.
Or bottles. They do bottles, I'm sure. Chocolate, because I like chocolate. What would you spend it on?
£3.70.
Yeah.
Train the wild line.
9 chicken nuggets. Why is my whole...
Chicken.
Chicken. There you go.
Just about get 2 pieces and chips still, I think.
Two pieces and chips, £3.70. David Beaton, should a team ever lose... Should a team ever win a league game 9-0? Interesting, he's phrased it, should a team ever win? Are you saying take your foot off the gas after 5-0?
No, because at the end of the day, it might come down to goal difference, right? So why stop?
It's a fair point. Lawrence jumped in the chat. She says, if it was a women's football game, everyone would be saying a lack of quality. Just saying. And I think they were crap. Celtic won 9-0 at the weekend as well.
In Spain, there was a case of something that really angered people a few years back where Real Madrid beat someone stupid, like 9-0 or something themselves. And there was a lot of anger that it got that high, as in like it's kind of like an unwritten, if it gets to like 6 or 7, don't take the piss kind of, it's like the mentality out there apparently. Should a team themselves be getting beat 9-0? No. Do I believe teams should take their foot off the pedal? I think in all honesty, I think it would happen more often if the big clubs didn't have so many games in such quick succession. Like, I think you've got the perfect storm there in the sense of with Liverpool, angry from Monday, 5 days to think about it, 4 days before another game. These sort of things help. If Liverpool had played Manchester United on Wednesday and were playing Newcastle at home on Tuesday, they don't win that game 9-0. I'm absolutely certain of that.
Chris Tellers, how many teams in the league does Eddie Nketiah start for? I know I'm being biased, but I think it's at least half. I think he'd get in quite a few, mate.
Okay, well, he wouldn't start for any of the big six.
No.
Is he better than Ollie Watkins?
On current form.
I think that's...
He starts for Everton.
All right, let me
starts
ask you
ahead of Che Adams.
Let me ask you a different question. If you had to pick Ollie Watkins or Eddie Nketiah to start up front for England tomorrow, who would you want?
I'd say Eddie Nketiah. I mean, it's such a
close.
Dog.
It's fine. It's fine.
He'd start for Everton.
Tony, start for.
That's a close one. I think I'd go Tony. Penalties and all that.
He would get in the Brentford team.
He'd get in the Southampton team.
But he wouldn't get in the Brentford team in a position he wanted to. Southampton, yeah, fine. I'll go Palace, yes. Everton, yes. Fulham, unbelievably, because of the way they play, the answer would be no. Leeds, I'd have to say is no. If Bamford was fit. Leicester.
No.
I think he'd end up playing wide right, probably. But then if they're all fit, they'd play Madison there. So the answer would be no. Newcastle is a no when they're all fit. Forest is yes. We're getting Southampton, yes. West Ham's no. Wolves is yes. I think that's less than half, but someone else can fucking count that for me.
Tom Heskibo, is Cancelo a sell soon after Forest? He's chucked in a load of the XG and XA and it's all shite.
Yeah, this is interesting.
What do you reckon with him?
I think there's arguably a case. Yeah. He's looking, of the premium defenders at the top end, he's looking the one where the numbers don't quite justify it at the moment. And obviously, you do have obvious cheaper ways to go within Manchester City, i.e. Kyle Walker, for example, if you just want the City defensive coverage. So, yes, there is a case. All I'd say about that is, despite the nothing, he's still got, what, an 11-pointer at home to Bournemouth?
Mm.
And he's very capable of that against Forest. And if he's rocking up with, what's that going to put him on an average of like 6-7 points per game? I'm not really bothered what the data tells me because I know the capability is there.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it yet, to be honest with you. He's really risen in value, right, after the first 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, but it looks like it's going to come back down potentially after Forest. There is a case potentially to look elsewhere. The other thing I'd just point out on that, if you're comparing that, say, versus Robertson, for example, which is obviously a real debate for me, Liverpool come into, if you've used your wild card particularly, Liverpool's run kind of gets tougher before Manchester City's does. Liverpool, you could say, starts from 8 away to Chelsea, where City starts from 11 away to Liverpool. And I'm conscious of that sort of thing. In case I don't use that wild card early, maybe I want to lose Robertson before I lose Cancelo, actually. And they're similar prices, aren't they?
Right. Let's go to Shifo's question. Do you think refereeing decisions would be better if the VAR bunker had an ex-player in them?
I think it would be better if it had a fucking eject seat. Every time they got wrong and got fucking ejected 200 feet in the air or something. Yes, 100% in my opinion. And referees can say, our players don't understand the rules. Our players understand the game better. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you could still go by law with a referee's decision. Can a player give insight into certain movements or things like that? Yes, I think it would help. Yes, I think it should happen. Unfortunately, it is a process that would take longer, which is a problem.
Keir wants to know if Sonny is the worst pick of the season so far in FPL. No, points per million must be shite.
No, Mo Salah is.
Nah.
I saved a million.
You saved a million.
I saved a million, yeah. Nah. Saved a million and still didn't start with even fucking Perisic. He has to be, I think.
But
or Ronaldo, things... if anyone started with Ronaldo, pretty dirty.
Who are you? Message us if you did. Harry G, who are the three City and Liverpool assets to own? More generally, what do you think the shelf life for FPL content creators? Will demand and popularity decrease to a stage content creators won't be a thing anymore one day? Let's answer the first one. Three Liverpool, three City. I'd go Cancelo, Haaland, De Bruyne.
Yeah. Straightforward, Trent, isn't it? If it's affordable. It doesn't Trent, really work.
Trent, Diaz and
Salah.
Salah. But obviously, if not, price is irrelevant, Robinson or...
You've got three premiums now. I mean, the sensible one to leave out there at the moment is De Bruyne.
Yeah.
You go Salah and Haaland, and then De Bruyne's Gundogan or whatever. It's the sensible way to look at that at the moment.
Yeah, I don't mind going De Bruyne over Salah, if I'm honest with you. But then that's the direction that I'm going into.
On that basis, you are... If you go Salah and Haaland, you've given yourself better captaincy choice, haven't you? It's a reality.
Yeah, you're right. Right, let's see.
What was the second part of that question about content creators?
Are we all done for, James? Are we doomed soon?
Yeah, I'm unemployed tomorrow. Great. I don't understand.
Do you think the popularity will decline of content creators?
Why? Go the other way.
Is there a shelf life?
No, I think like what you'd say to me is it'll always evolve, right?
It'll change.
It'll be something else in 10 years or whatever. So, no. People's habits will change and whatnot, but no, I would only see it increasing rather than decreasing. Depends how you look at it, right? There's so much out there now compared to when we started. It's an insane amount of numbers of content creators.
There are, yeah.
So, for them to be doing it, the demand must be there. Surely, right? Otherwise, why do people keep starting and doing it? Right?
I think a lot of people create content for themselves rather than just for the masses.
Yep.
Dan L says, how long does Gerrard have left at Villa?
Lee Jackson thinks not long. It's just going nowhere. They've got a run of fixtures from 8 to 13 that are brilliant, really. It's Chelsea at home in the middle of that, but it's a really good stretch of six games. You could make the case that making a change going into that Southampton fixture in 8 could be pretty good timing to make a change. You could also argue that for Leicester away in 7, then get the bounce. You could see them going on a run then, couldn't you? 6-7 games having, I don't know, 13 points or something. I think the discontent amongst Villa fans is there, and we are heading towards the Brendan Rodgers scenario probably, which has probably got an inevitable conclusion unless it changes very quickly. That said, a win at Arsenal, if they managed it, or a win against Manchester City would rewrite the narrative very quickly.
Danel, after scoring 2 against Liverpool and 1 at Arsenal, is Mitrovic fixture proof? I hope so, as I got him last week.
Talisman.
I got him in this week. Yeah, go for it. Like
talisman.
After you've just bought him, I'm not about to shit on your transfer, am I? So, and to be honest, I think Mitrovic is fine. Like just play him and roll with it. He's all right.
Possibly an interesting concept for people to think about. By nature, anyway, most talismen should be fixture proof. Now the problem with that is we can't always identify who the talisman will be. He's fairly clear at Fulham, it will be Mitrovic, right? So therefore, he should be fixture proof.
Gary Mantle, just put my washing machine on, only to find out that I haven't actually loaded it with clothes.
class.
What's the most stupid thing you did as a result of being too tired to function as an adult?
After the 24-hour live stream, putting the
lights on in the middle of the day. Oh, mate, I put some nachos on at halftime in West Ham, Villa West Ham, and then forgot about them and only realised that they were still in the grill when I smelt burning. That was pretty fucked. But I wasn't too tired to function. That was just stupid.
The wife's done that a few times lately where she's put the dishwasher on and has realised, like, yeah, she ain't put no soap in or whatever. You just got to fucking let it go.
Yeah, what can you do?
Do it again.
Oh, Chifo, for the past couple of game weeks, I almost had identical scores around 70 points, one with a captain blank and one without. Is it justifiable to be mad from the captain blank game week? I think you got to look at the average. Like, what does 70 represent compared to what everybody else scored? Because it could be a week like this week with so many people on Salah captain and Salah blanks that it's okay to have a captaincy blank if 70 represents above average.
The reality is, like I said, unlike that with Havertz last year, and again, obviously, the Salah in the 9-0 is obviously going to be fairly legendary, but it didn't really hurt, did it? What was you hurt against? Oh, people like me had an extra 9 points from Robertson, for example. You know, Salah beat Jesus. Haaland obviously is the one. How many people really, really did it? It's not many. It's not. It's just not that much of a big deal. If you're annoyed about Jesus, again, don't be. A brilliant form. He went off mental in his previous home game. I don't regret captain Jesus at the weekend. I regret probably not taking about a minus 12 to get Mo Salah in. But if I'd done so, I obviously would have captained him. But it's easy for us to say. We don't get hung up on it. It's about the decision-making process. The outcome, how in the fuck is it possible that they won 9-0 and he didn't score, mate?
Who knows?
Even get an assist. It's impossible. Impossible. So mad shit will happen.
Stian, if you had to put one family member in your starting 11 in FPL, who would it be and what position would they play? They're playing Man City for reference. You put him as a striker because if he's a defender. I thought it was in your FPL 11. I thought in an actual team. I'd have put one of my sons as centre back up against Haaland. Fucking run all over him.
Yeah, beef him up. Good life lesson.
Yeah, practice your takedowns.
I would put my wife up against Kyle Walker because it'd just be funny to see the distance if they both like had a good 20-yard sprint. if my wife could get to like 3 or 4 yards by the time Kyle Walker's got a 20.
Right. Stian says his diff team is beating his main team by 2 million in rank. Is anyone seen that fucking snail? It can eat me now. Well, I think a lot of people, our dead team's doing amazingly well compared to our main teams as well. So, you know.
This always happens to someone to start the year, always.
Sam O'Sullivan, twice this season, a Nottingham Forest player is deliberately handballed almost on the line in an attempt to deny a certain goal. On both occasions, the defender was not sent off and the penalty was saved, which feels wrong. A possible solution is to say any deliberate handball in the 6-yard box is an automatic red card. What do you think about this proposal? It's denying a goal-scoring opportunity, right?
When it happened, and even from my vantage point, it was absolutely clear. The only thing I couldn't see from where I was in the ground was, could it be that Kane had pushed him? But it was 100% handball. Everybody in the ground knew it. I don't have a problem with the fact that he wasn't sent off. I also do generally quite often have a problem with red cards for handballs. I spoke about the Reece James one at Liverpool last year. I don't like that. I just think the punishment is way too big for the crime because 75% of the time the opposition do score as well. So, no, I have no problem with the fact that Steve Cook wasn't sent off yesterday and Kane missed the penalty. That's how it is. Listen, Kane scored his last 21 Premier League penalties for Tottenham or something. So, most of the time, the punishment enough is you're going to concede here anyway. So I don't have a huge issue. I really dislike if it's like Suarez. I've said this before. If it's like Suarez against Ghana, fine, send him off. otherwise, I'm not that bothered. The Reece James one, some people say, yeah, it was deliberate. Some people say it wasn't. I think there's enough like grey area there where I don't think that should be a red card. There is a case in that one, the Reece James one, to say like penalty goal, I think.
Penalty goal.
Yeah, like a penalty try in rugby. You just say, look, yeah, obviously, it's it. Fine, it's a goal. Let's go away. Let's move on. Maybe that's more the case. That would stop the deliberate handball, certainly, wouldn't it? If you knew, if you were on the line, you knew if you handballed it, a goal was getting given anyway. What's the point? Let it go.
Ben Miller, following as Mark's Match of the Day challenge, is it something that you and I would do, James, considering Spurs would play on a Sunday? Hope you're well. Would you do it?
Excuse me. Would I do it? Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it kind of feels like it's their area now. So I wouldn't want that to be perceived the wrong way. But yeah, would I do it? Yeah, so, I think
it's a once every now and then type thing.
I think
to do.
Certain ones like I would be happy to do it. Like, nah, man, I'd be happy to like blank game week, but it's like only three or four games or something, and I'm fine. I'm done out
boring.
For the day. Sod it. Why is it?
But then it's like you only wait.
It's not.
Three
it's not
four
boring
results.
For us because they'll show more highlights of the actual football.
That's
and I can
true,
make comments.
But that's,
match
it wouldn't,
of the day,
it wouldn't be as good content.
Match of the day on Saturday, we're limiting replays to goals. Some of the goals are just one replay of the goals.
Because there were
where
so
normally
many.
You'll have like four or five angles and stuff. Yeah. So they really limited what they showed of the actual games at the weekend. So less games means more analysis would actually suit us better.
Brian Robinson, a non-FPL question. As an American, I find it, I really enjoy new kits being released every single year. It's not that way in American sports. It didn't used to be in Premier League either. Do you two get new gear yearly or stick with some of your favourites? I hardly buy shirts.
No,
I wait till they're like two seasons out of date and about £10 and I might consider it.
No, I don't buy football shirts anymore.
Unless
club,
you tweet.
Club gets enough money out of me.
Unless you tweet.
Well, I won't do that again. If I do it again, honestly, if I do it again, I'll be like 100,000 likes. You can all fuck off.
It will happen, though. People will share it. Amrabat Man Joe, is performing KPRPs in a football match disrespectful? You mentioned it earlier, James. You said 4-0 up.
We spoke
okay.
about it on the pod, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, I'm not speaking about
your,
it again.
Your point was if you're 4-0 up, it's all right. If you're 2-0 up, 10 to go, no. Jarvo, if you had Salah, KDB and Haaland in the FBL team, who is dispensable to spread funds elsewhere? I mean, you mentioned that. If you let go KDB go, you've got Haaland and Salah as captains.
So
and that's
both,
probably your two
both
best
probably,
captaincy options.
Yeah, and yet what are we doing buying KDB this week? But I think, yeah, the answer is KDB.
But we're playing
KDB.
Hokey Hokey, right? And I'm not particularly
I might not be.
You might what?
I might just be going now.
Yeah, and I am too, but I've done the hokey cokey from De Bruyne to Salah back to De Bruyne, and I'm not really taking a hit in value. Fitzy, do you think Brighton are now equipped for a decent crack at the top seven, or is a Potter run of one win and eight round the corner? I think that run could always be round the corner because they've not scored tons of goals. They failed to score at Newcastle, only one at the weekend. Against us, they should have won, but it was a penalty and a breakaway goal. I don't think they're going to be scoring twos, threes and fours regularly, which means you blank and you could end up drawing on winning a game that you can dominate. I don't think it'll be as bad as last year, one win and eight, but I do think they'll have small barren spells. But they're still equipped for top seven. 100%.
They are equipped potentially for top six. Whether it's sustainable, to be confirmed.
Lawrence says, what on earth is going on with Paul Pogba and why does this sort of thing always attract the French national team players? Madness, have you seen it?
Yeah, I literally saw the headline, but I've not seen much more about it. Someone's trying to extort money out of him and stuff. Right?
It's his brother and two of his childhood schoolmates and stuff. It's all people he knows. It's not like random people.
His brother?
Yeah, his brother's part of it. And there was this one of his mates was staying at his house in Manchester in January and he kicked him out after the guy racked up a 200 grand bill on his credit card. And then now they're saying that Paul Pogba hasn't been helping out the people that were with him when he was growing up. And they want £13 million for protection and services rendered in the last 13 years and shit like that. Like, it can't be nice, whatever he's going through. These people are giving him a lot of shit, mate. It's horrible. But, you know.
Put them fuckers in jail. Fuck them.
Exactly. At least he's come out and been public about it and not been fearful of any consequence. I mean, he's a celebrity, so let's see. Sam O'Sullivan, either of you ever deliberately burned the transfer because there was no moves you wanted to make? Once. Not commonplace, but once. But this is the season where I can see it happening more than anything. I think he's like FPL Salah has burned two so far this season and is sitting in the top 15K or something stupid like that. Because this is the season of all that you could end up burning one because the consistent performers are just performing week in, week out. Would you burn one ever?
No. Must be something better you can make to your team. Has to be something.
I don't know. Ben Cameron, is Zinchenko to Perisic a move that you would advocate? Yes.
Yes.
That's a very... There's not a lot of context.
Well, we haven't got the Zinchenko injury status, but at the moment, yeah.
But as a straight, if you had the money and fixtures irrelevant, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Sam O'Sullivan, would you take Dean Henderson to the World Cup so that he'd come on just for the penalty shootout?
To be fair, Pickford's not bad at him, it's worth saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's his best attribute, really, his distribution and his shot stopping, Jordan Pickford, when he's at his best for England. So, no, but I think he's obviously in the headlines. That's definitely going to be a boost to him. I have heard it suggested that Pope would miss out, which seems ridiculous to me, I have to say.
Yeah.
He'd definitely go for me, Nick Pope.
Gary Mantle, maybe you can answer this on Tottenham. Is it a positive or a negative that Spurs have two left wing backs that are completely different types of players? Yeah, I can see both sides of the argument. Lose some continuity, but also have an alternative option.
I'll answer that now because it probably won't get covered on Tottenham. Are they that different? Would be the question that I'd throw.
Sessegnon's better defensively. Perisic is better offensively.
Is that literally how we judge it? How do they play that's so different? Their attributes are different.
So if you were coming up against a team and you wanted to be more defensive, you'd play Sessegnon.
Why?
And if you didn't care and you wanted to be more offensive, you'd play Perisic.
It doesn't necessarily work that way because Perisic forced the opponent back deeper potentially. But Sessegnon is quicker to run in behind on the counter, for example. Perisic is better in the air on the back post. You could play diagonals into him much better than Sessegnon wouldn't really be an aerial target, although he's beefed up a lot. So although attribute-wise, there's a lot of differences between the two players, fundamentally, is their role in the team very different? Not really.
So their role's not different.
What's Gary's question in terms of...
But they're different types of player.
Yeah, but then so's Emerson and Doherty. So's Emerson and Spence.
Would you rather two that were the same, or would you rather two that were different?
I quite like the fact that they're all...
Different.
They're all different, to be honest. Yeah.
I think a bit of right, like players that can play the same position but do it differently, I think is a positive. Tim, have you ever showboated at work?
Define.
I don't know how I would.
Define.
I know, he just says, have you ever showboated at work? I think it's a Richarlison aimed
question. Have I ever done like kick-ups in a work office? Yes.
I don't think that's not your job is not playing football though.
Oh, okay. Showboated and, yeah, mate, in the sales team, you've got to be a complete twat, haven't you? So I'd say yes.
What about the bookies? Did you ever wave your bet slips around where a 12-1 had come in and you were...
I would say definitely I showboated working in the bookies, yeah. In terms of how quick I could do things, yeah.
Keir, last question of the show, James. Do you like Rodgers to Villa?
Oh my God, I could so see that. It's that literally managerial swap. I absolutely can see that. Gerrard at Leicester and Brendan Rodgers at Villa. Well, I am absolutely going to ask those two boys that on COTC next week if they're up for a managerial swap. That'd be interesting.
That, sir, is the Q&A for today. Okay. Hope you enjoyed it, patrons. Hope you enjoy the rest of your bank holiday. Keep it sunny and keep it safe. Look after yourselves. Tomorrow, I'm away. So James has got a whole schedule planned. Thank you to the patrons that are stepping in my shoes, starting with Clayton on the Diff Show tomorrow and everybody else that is to follow. But do enjoy the week. And I'll try not to send any beach photos. Stay safe.
Just don't miss the fucking deadline.
Ciao for now.
Have a good night, Eddie Boss. Cheers, patrons. Have a good one. Cue music, please, man child.
Do you know what I need, James?
What do you need?
VPN for Sky. Definitely need to make sure that shit's working.
Okay. I'll give you my Nord VPN or ask Mark's Ovens and Ads for their sponsored Will. One. Are Ciao we still recording? Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Fantasy Football Show.